song you're hearing comes from a recruitment video on TikTok. In the video, we see just an image with text accompanied by a catchy tune. Whoever posted it is offering the promise of money, parties, and adventures a direct message away. And hundreds of comments on TikTok asking how to join show there's huge interest. But there's a catch. In fact, recently, Colombia's defense minister warned of the dangers of TikTok videos like this.
These are recruitment actions that are being carried out to attract children, minors in various regions of the country, and this is one of them.
So who is behind these videos? Well, this is one of many TikToks posted by people in Colombia's dissident guerrilla groups. These are armed groups that didn't like the terms of a peace treaty negotiated between FARC and the government in 2016. And they kept fighting against the Colombian government. These groups make their money from illegal businesses. And although not all the videos actively offer jobs, there are hundreds showing off what they portray as a slice of life inside the guerrillas. Money, cars, guns, women, community, and purpose. So how popular are these TikToks, and what does it mean for Colombia that there's tons of them, easily found by young people with smartphones across the country? Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Laura Garcia with BBC Trending. We do in-depth reporting on the world of social media. And in this episode, we're digging into what dissident guerrilla recruitment videos on TikTok mean for Colombia's path towards peace. Joining me is Rochelle Krieger from BBC Monitoring in Miami, and together we've been working on this story across continents. We've spoken to people at the heart of it, including someone in the dissident armed groups.
Hi, Laura. That's right. And we will hear his story later on. This story has been on my radar since April, when a Colombian government minister warned of this phenomenon. I started by watching only a few dissident videos. But since TikTok quickly learns which videos you watch and how much time you spend watching them, soon the app's algorithm was pumping similar guerrilla videos onto my For You feed.
And since you led me down this rabbit hole, my feed has also been overrun by those videos, and I cannot get the songs out of my head. I was really surprised as well when you told me about these sorts of guerrilla groups, because they are supposed to be a thing of the past.
Yes, but the guerrillas aren't completely gone. Let me lay it out. The Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, or FARC, are the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. And they're an umbrella term for the biggest of Colombia's rebel armed groups that is made up of a lot of fronts and smaller groups.
So, quick history lesson here. FARC were first founded in 1964 by small farmers and land workers as the armed wing of the Communist Party. They fought against the staggering levels of inequality in Colombia at the time. But their name also became synonymous with their extreme tactics, kidnapping civilians and politicians, recruiting minors, and bombing major cities. At their peak, about 2002, they were believed to have 20,000 active fighters.
Fast forward to 2016, and after the peace talks with former Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos, FARC officially demobilized and the government called for a ceasefire. But in areas such as Cauca and Putumayo, among others, some of their former members thought their original objectives hadn't been fulfilled, so they split.
Yeah, and in the present day, the Estado Mayor Central, or EMC, is the latest iteration of FARC. This network of groups see themselves as the legitimate heir to FARC and say that those who laid down their arms betrayed the revolution.
So on one hand, the left-wing government of current President Gustavo Petro has been talking about a total peace plan and negotiating with parts of the EMC. And on the other, that same government has declared a total offensive against other parts of the EMC that continue to fight security forces. And on top of that, these factions have not only continued to make money off of illegal businesses and violent takeovers of territories in Colombia's rural communities, but their numbers, in terms of members, have also grown in the last few years.
Before we dig into the TikToks, it's important to remember that when we talk about young people being quote-unquote recruited, it applies to all kids under the age of 18 under Colombian law, who are taken by the guerrilla groups, whether they sign up willingly or not. They're considered children, so they're deemed legally not competent to make these decisions themselves. And the number of kids putting themselves in danger by joining the ranks of the EMC is growing. According to the Early Alert Systems Delegate of the Ombudsman's Office, the official stats are that 184 young people were taken in by dissident FARC groups in the whole of last year. From January to May of this year, 125 had already been recruited. About 8 out of 10 of those are from Cauca, a rural area we'll tell you about in just one moment.
Experts told us that social media has played an important role in the growth of these guerrilla groups among young people. Although exactly how many of these kids were directly influenced by these TikTok recruitment videos is almost impossible to pin down. Two people we spoke to who have been following the evolution of how guerrilla groups use social media in their operations are Santiago Rodriguez and Sergio Safon. Let's hear from Santiago first. He's a journalist for La Silla Vacía, an investigative Colombian news website. He says that at first, FARC used social media to make announcements to local communities.
Sometimes it's a group of Facebook that is in a region or in a village, and they post like, we are here in the territory, we are the FARC, you should be in your house by 6 p.m.
Recently, though, the way the guerrillas use social media platforms has changed. Here's Sergio Safon, Colombia expert for investigative media organization Insight Crime.
Slowly, the content has been migrating from Facebook to TikTok. This most recent trend is more focused on recruitment and try to portray a luxurious lifestyle inside the movement, the guerrilla movement.
The experts we spoke to say there are several reasons for this steady shift to TikTok. Firstly, TikTok is perceived to have significantly less moderation than Facebook, so videos that go against the platform's rules are likely to stay up longer. TikTok say in their community guidelines that moderating millions of pieces of content each day is a complex effort, and developing a trusted process to do so is foundational. They say, "We are committed to being impartial and evidence-based, producing fair outcomes, giving notice of enforcement actions, and providing an opportunity to appeal." Secondly, TikTok attracts younger users, and that's exactly what these armed groups want: young boys and girls to add to their ranks.
And the design of the app itself is also ripe for these kinds of videos to spread. These TikTok videos often feature really catchy music from local artists that are like medieval troubadours who tell the stories of fallen guerrilla members and the righteousness of their cause.
And if you ever come across a video on TikTok that uses a song you like, you can click on a little icon that looks like an old LP record, and that takes you to a page where you can explore all the other videos made with that same song.
So let's say you watch a video with the super catchy song we heard at the start of the show, Bloque Occidental, or the Western Front. And its lyrics say, "El guerrillero es combatiente, siempre firme y siempre valiente," which means guerrilla fighters are steadfast and brave. Even if you aren't specifically looking for content related to the guerrillas, if you just like the song and you click through to see what other videos are using it, the TikTok algorithm means that you will likely see a load of similar videos featuring guerrilla content.
We saw several TikToks actively saying, "Hey, join this front of the EMC or FARC." But most of them just show off what life is like within these armed groups without emphasizing the dangers. Some of them use emojis that are code for guerrillas, like the ninja emoji plus a leaf, or a Colombian flag plus a money emoji, so you know what they're about. Here's Sergio Safon from Insight Crime again.
They're trying to recruit these young people by selling them, you know, like, this is a great life. Here you can have anything you need. You can have money, you can have women, you can have motorcycles.
In some videos, the guerrillas even show their faces wearing their uniforms and appear fully armed. When people write in the comments that the government is going to find them using these pictures, they just reply with a laughing emoji. So what does this tell us about the people who post these videos? Here's Santiago Rodriguez from La Silla Vacía again.
I believe most of the content is very organic because in many of these accounts you find a person who shows its face.
Santiago Rodriguez believes the videos show immaturity, indiscipline, and a lack of coordination behind these accounts. But the content has definitely struck a chord with teens, particularly in rural communities like those in Colombia's Cauca region.
They are in distant, isolated, marginal areas where those who are present, so to speak, are the organized armed groups. So they almost see it as a response not from an armed group, but as the only offer they have.
That's Ricardo Arias Macias, an official at Colombia's Ombudsman's Office working specifically on an early warning system that flags up concerns about guerrilla radicalization. Macias says that in these economically deprived, isolated areas, videos from EMC FARC groups are cutting through with kids who don't have many other choices.
The EMC, the biggest dissident group, found the ideal scenario, the perfect setting to expand, to grow, to dominate its territory, to recruit more young people, more children, to grow their troops.
The lyrics of the songs used in these videos speak adoringly of guerrilla fighters. One talks about how a fallen leader was like a father to his community and would pave roads the government never did. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Laura Garcia, and this is the documentary with BBC Trending.
When I arrived here almost 6 years ago, the children did not dare talk about it so openly in the classroom, that they wanted to leave or that they had relatives in the guerrilla.
This is a woman we're calling Lorena, a teacher from El Cauca. We're not going to tell you her real name or where she teaches or even use her real voice because she's asked us to protect her identity.
Many families in her community know someone who's involved with the dissident armed groups, and speaking out could mean trouble for her and her family. Lorena says several years ago, if her teenage students started sharing social media posts with guerrilla's music, she and other teachers would raise alerts with their parents and the government. But soon she found it hard to keep up with each individual case.
After the pandemic, it became overwhelming for us. Previously, one or two kids have a phone, but now most kids have access to a phone with the internet, and they're on their cell phone all the time. Unfortunately, one or two start the trend, and it becomes fashionable in the classroom. Soon after, they paint FARC People's Army on the walls, they draw weapons, they draw the flag.
Sometimes, after a student has been missing from class for a couple of days, they reappear on social media making videos of themselves wearing battle uniforms, holding rifles. And that's when parents and teachers know they've joined the dissident FARC groups. And many of them are girls. Lorena says she has lost over 10 students to the guerrillas so far.
I think they do this because they're not aware or they're not trying to be careful. In the end, they're all children and they think it's brave to post something like this. The context overwhelms us. It is difficult to offer them quality of life, give them other opportunities when there is no food at home. And in this place, they offer you 3 meals a day and they're going to give you money on top of that.
So almost from the beginning, when you and I started working on this story, Rochelle, we were keen that we tried to speak to some of the people behind these posts.
Yes, we spent hours going down TikTok rabbit holes to identify at least 50 accounts posting guerrilla content. Most of the accounts we later contacted either didn't reply, didn't allow for direct messages from people they didn't follow, or rejected us. While we waited for responses, many of the accounts were banned and taken down by TikTok. So we turned to Santiago Rodriguez, who you heard from at the beginning of the episode, for help contacting guerrillas. And he pointed us in the direction of 37-year-old Sebastián Martínez. He's a guerrilla member of the Western Bloc commander Jacobo Arenas of the FARC's People Army in Cauca. He's not currently a fighter for FARC, but he has been representing the EMC in negotiations with the government, which have stalled.
I first met the FARC when I was just 4 years old, and they taught me how to ride a bike. I saw the work they did in the communities.
We spoke to Sebastián over Zoom, and he told us he lost two uncles to armed violence in his region and eventually dropped out of his engineering degree at university to join FARC. Sebastián says EMC FARC make their money from illegal activities like taxing people who have cocaine or poppy crops. I challenged him on whether his group are forcibly recruiting anyone. He says not, but he acknowledges that they do actively recruit boys and girls as young as 15 years old. And when we asked about how the EMC use social media, he said, although they will publish certain official statements on different platforms, their recruitment tactics are not based on social media. He, in fact, doesn't approve of the TikTok some fighters have been posting.
Some comrades, for example, let's say, they take a video of themselves that is very pretty because they show how happy they are because they got their uniforms and today they want to show it off and say proudly that they are part of FARC. But then in that video, you show a mountain and you're showing where you are. And intelligence services can say, oh, this person was recruited by a certain commander. And even if that commander doesn't even have TikTok, they are able to find them. Sometimes these posts go out of our hands when we have a youngster that, in the middle of the mystique, they start building their life around as a guerrilla. They publish a song and show their face. That can bring security risks, and we are trying to control it.
He said that the posts sometimes limit the guerrilla's intelligence capabilities since once they show their faces on social media, they can't be sent to the city or to infiltrate the military or the government to provide them with valuable information.
It's important to say that although these videos don't get millions of views, there are a lot of them. They're very easy to find, and many of them have loads of comments from people either praising the guerrillas or asking how to join. TikTok's guidelines say, we do not allow any violent threats, promotion of violence, incitement to violence, or promotion of criminal activities that may harm people, animals, or property.
Social media companies often rely on AI to automatically moderate content. But these types of posts are hard for AI to take down because they often don't have any words in the description directly related to FARC. And then there's also the fact that this is happening in Spanish. Even if AI flags something in a video, you still need someone who understands the language and the culture to know what they're about.
Valentina and Alejandro are from Circuito, an analysis firm that studies social media in Latin America. And they say these videos often fall within a gray area of TikTok moderation.
The specific way these community guidelines are written right now doesn't allow us to determine with certainty if they are being violated. And that's the problem.
Why are the policies not being enforced? Because not all the content is explicit and you need much more context to identify it as related to the guerrillas. But the platform, as we have seen, also recommends similar content. That means it is able to establish some similarities between these accounts and these publications.
We reached out to TikTok for a statement, but we didn't get a reply. However, their community guidelines say, TikTok is not a place to spread beliefs or propaganda that encourage violence or hate. We do not allow the presence of violent and hateful organizations or individuals on our platform. As these videos continue to spread on social media, so too does the guerrillas' recruitment. Here's Santiago Rodriguez, who you've heard from before.
Well, the recruitment of youngsters, sometimes underage, is a huge strike for the total peace because it means that these groups are getting stronger while they talk of peace.
That's it this week for this episode of The Documentary. I'm Laura Garcia from BBC Trending. My thanks to Rochelle Krieger. This episode was produced by Jonathan Griffin and mixed by Annie Gardiner. Our editor was Flora Carmichael. If you want to message the Trending team with your thoughts on this or any of our other programs, then you can email me at laura.garcia@bbc.co.uk. Thank you for listening. The Documentary will be back in your podcast feeds at the same time next week. One more thing before we go. We'd like to recommend another podcast from the BBC World Service.